have incapacitating tears coming from my heart. But today, I do. I hope I can say a few words. So, this coming week, we're going to have the ordination of Peter James, and I don't think Lucina knows it, but she's being ordained too. And I remember when I was made priest, the deacons take the candidate for priesthood and bring him before the bishop, and he bows down three times and prostrates three times. And when I went through that particular part of the ritual, my dear wife was involuntarily prostrated just by the, I would say, the Holy Spirit of God, which means that both the candidate for priesthood, who becomes the priest, and the Matushka, being married in one flesh, represent, in a sense, the priesthood and its ministrations. I like the Russian, it's Batushka and Matushka. It's very nice. And so for us, it was an amazing pilgrimage, which had many joys and tremendous difficulties. Not in our marriage. Glory to God for my dear and beloved wife, who was born with the essence of patience and love in her heart, but many, many complications and difficulties. And the building, the church space you're in right now, was completely empty. There were no arches. There was plaster coming down. There were holes in the roof. That wall wasn't there. It was just one big building. And having been, I don't know, maybe blessed, but sometimes I think cursed with sort of architectural ability and knowing how to build things, we renovated the church. And recently, I forget the context, but I was asked, what is the essential ingredient of being a priest? And if you look at the floor, you'll see little dots where plugs are, and then underneath them are screws. And this entire floor, it's actually a big floor. I'd done a few living room floors in my past, and thought, oh, this is nothing. I'll just, the living room floor is smaller than that area over there, and this is much more complicated in many ways. And I'm sure there's at least thousands of plugs. And so the thing is, they had the holes had to be drilled, the screws had to be placed, the plugs had to be pushed in and hammered down. And it was just plain sheer hard work. It was a lot of other things were hard work. And as I was reflecting upon it, in a sense, I actually didn't have the idea of being a priest even into my late 20s. And it just kind of evolved, and then finally became a priest in the Orthodox Church. And one of the hardest things that everyone has to deal with is pride. Pride is it's been discussed from very ancient times. It's really Sophocles did a good job of discussing pride in Oedipus Rex, but it's as long as man has existed, there's been pride. And the thing is that living the Christian life and being a priest through whom the grace of God works and for the benefit of all requires humility. And I was never gifted in the area of humility. So I think my dear Lord gave us a project that I had the concept of commitment. You know, that was something that was a family virtue, and commitment meaning you you stay faithful to the path you're on, and work it out, and God will provide. And in reality, for me, I was, you know, prior to turning to the priesthood, I was on an academic path. I'd been to St. John's College in Annapolis, Maryland, and studied philosophy and so on. And I was on that path. And then this came along, and the priesthood came along, and the project came along, and with many other concerns. And I... something was presented and you had to do it. It was an obedience. You simply had to do it. There's no other way. You started it, you're going to finish it. You had to do it. And the floor is only one aspect. There's many different aspects to the whole thing, functional, everything else. And I hope hidden somewhere behind my veil of pride, I learned a little humility. And because I think that you can't be a priest, I don't think, really, unless you learn and absorb the gift of humility. And humility takes very many forms. I would say in my case, if I had any humility, I'd hid it behind, pride. So I did a good job with that. But nevertheless, humility leads to obedience, and obedience leads to the kingdom of heaven, I think. And I think that's, we need to be obedient. We need to be humble and fight our pride, be humble and obedience. Humility and obedience are almost two sides of the same coin. And I hope that our dear Peter and his dear wife Lucina are given the gift of humility so that they can serve the church and fulfill its mysteries. And if God, and I hope that they don't have to go through all the problems, struggles we went through, right? We went through a lot, and Ariadne knows, and a few others know the difficulties. But nevertheless, here we are in this church, which is very beautiful. I think I can say that. And it's filled with grace, and the love of God is here, and the kingdom of God is here. Namely, the kingly power of God radiates it from the very vessel of grace, which is the temple itself, and through the icons, and of course through the mysteries that are celebrated. And so it's, I'm hoping that for Peter and Lucina, it's a beginning point that they'll receive this this gift. And by the way, I'm not going anywhere, but I hope to drift into the background just a little bit. And I think I can do that, actually. But so they will have, this gift, a gift not just of a building, but really a gift of a congregation that brings faith and dedication and generosity to the temple, to the worship, and to them, and which every priest, I think, and every monastery is good. They need your love. They need the love of the congregation. And in order to strengthen and to hold them up. One of the mysteries of the priesthood is that many mysteries, obviously. The most profound mystery is the mystery of ordination, and where God, by Pentecost, when the Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles gathered in the upper room, and tongues of fire were on their heads, and they were ordained directly by our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't long after Pentecost that they set about the task of setting aside deacons and presbyters. Deacons to serve the tables and the priests to serve the holy mysteries and the Eucharist. And, of course, there were tremendous victories in faith, but there was persecution, lots of persecution, and lots of pain, and a lot was being gained in God and the Holy Spirit, but nevertheless, the apostles and their disciples and so on, while they received profound spiritual gifts, also suffered tremendously. And but they had been ordained, which means that the apostles who were not yet called bishops, but were the bishops, laid hands upon those who became deacons to serve in the worldly needs of the flock, and those who were chosen, those deacons who were then chosen later to serve the priestly needs of the flock, they laid hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit according to their calling as a deacon, and the Holy Spirit according to their priesthood, and continued this tremendous and most remarkable mystery of the priesthood. And so the ordination is profound, and it's changed. A person is changed. And what's fascinating about it is you can read books about the priesthood. I mean, St. John Chrysostom wrote about the priesthood, but I don't really think, well, certainly until you're a priest, you can't really understand what he's talking about, really. But anyway, so the priesthood is a great responsibility, and there are incredible joys that come. Namely, celebrating the feasts of the church is a tremendous joy, particularly Holy Week and Pascha, where we are elevated beyond comprehension to an awareness of the passion of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and then, of course, His resurrection, the power of His resurrection. And these are, amazing. And the other thing that's amazing about it is, I don't know if you can see it year by year, but certainly every 2 or 3 years, you realize that you're experiencing the feast in a very different way. I shouldn't say different, but in a much deeper way. And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And you see more and more into the heart, of what it is we've been given. And, of course, this is necessary because we, in a sense, aren't prepared. We've been baptized and chrismated and participated in the church before we become priests, but to actually have this charisma of the Holy Spirit upon us is a very different experience. And it has tremendous responsibilities. And one of the things that a priest does is he sees all facets of life, even if he's young, 30 years old, 35 years old, your eyes, you enter pastorally into the lives of the people God has given you, whether it be with the birth of a child and the prayers that are said and and the complications sometimes. The priest is called to the bedside to pray for the mother and to pray for the child who may have problems, respiratory problems, who knows what kinds of problems. But so the priest is brought into this intimacy, and it's also the intimacy of marriages and the intimacy of conflict within marriages and struggles and the obviously the end, namely the intimacy of one's repose and dying, and then the prayers for the funeral. So the priest is brought into all of these different aspects of life, and I've only named just a very few, but can be brought in at a very young age, 30, 32, 33, 34. But God is with the priest for sure, but it's also true that the parish or the parishioners, the members of the body of Christ in this place, are profoundly obligated to support their priest. It's absolutely necessary, and what meaning by that? Certainly, with prayers. Certainly with love and kindness. Certainly with patience, because every priest is going to make mistakes. I can definitely attest to that. But nevertheless, the priest needs to be loved and supported and forgiven when he's in error and embraced throughout the whole length of time of the holy priesthood in order to, you might say, thrive. I was going to say survive. No, we're going to survive, but to thrive. And so this is important. And I think that one of the areas of support that's needed is financial. The bottom line is that there are many priests who work full-time, have families, and are full-time priests in the church. I have been blessed not to have to. I had a very different situation, but I certainly worked a lot in the first 25 or 30 years of the parish. I mean, it was just physical labor. But nevertheless, it's essential, and particularly now, it's essential that there's support, so that support is spiritual, it's emotional, it's a. Through kindness and generosity and forgiveness and love, and it also has to be material. And everyone has to, every one of us has to, to pay attention to that. And there are some of our parishioners who actually tithe, they 10% of their income after taxes, I suppose. And others, give what they can. But the reality is that. The priest has to be supported. So, not to drag this out, but we this week, this coming weekend, the church will gather. Peter will be ordained deacon on Saturday and priest on Sunday, and we should come prepared for the feast. If we can make confession, we should confess our sins. We should say our pre-communion prayers and be alert and so that we not only are spectators in a sense, but we are full participants in this remarkable eternal sacrament, so that the grace that flows upon the priest through ordination flows upon us and nurtures our individual and various capacities to serve the body of Christ. So may God bless this holy parish. May it bless Peter and Lucina. Having basically gotten to the end of my ramblings, which has nothing to do with what I had written here today. So may God bless all of you. And please pray for us, our parish, Vermontis, for Xenia, Father Spiridon, Peter, and future.